Hi Earthlings!
Welcome to this week's segment of Tomorrow's World.
I'm Isla Christensen.
And I'm Stella Huggins.
This week we dive into a topic of science and society that has both revolutionised women's health and led to a lot of discussions around the regulation of women's hormones.
That's right folks, the combined contraceptive pill.
You've probably heard stories of the effects of taking the pill, like increased risk of blood clots or changing women's sense of smell and attraction in partners.
Wait, what? I thought it was just COVID that changed my smell.
Findings appear in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society of Biological Sciences that suggest that after women begin using birth control pills, their smell preferences tended to shift, making them more likely to find the scent of a genetically similar man sexy.
That is evolutionary significance.
Before we get into our interview, here is a speedy overview of the history of the pill.
The Food and Drug Administration approved the first oral contraceptive in 1960.
Within 2 years of its initial distribution, 1.2 million American women were using the birth control pill, and since then, more than 300 million users worldwide have used the pill as a simple, safe and effective means of achieving reproductive freedom.
60 years on, and research on the quantitative effects on the pill of people with uteruses' brains have only just been uncovered.
And it's happening right here in Aotearoa by Dr. Rachel Sumners.
We were lucky enough to interview Rachel on this work, and we started by asking her for an overview of the research.
The purpose of the study essentially was to answer a hovering question that was that disorders like premenstrual dysphoric disorder, major depressive episode that occurs, you know, roughly around the same time as onset of a woman's period, about 3 days, 7 days before that, or catamenial epilepsy, where in the days prior to a woman's period starting or in the days afterwards, they experience a doubling of seizures or more in some cases. And basically, all of the theories for what causes this comes from the idea that it's a massive change in hormones from the luteal phase, a massive withdrawal and a drop. And the thing is that the combined oral contraceptive pill based on this theory ought to be the perfect treatment, because if you take a blood sample at almost any point, there's not really a physiologically relevant change in hormones, but it's not the perfect treatment. And essentially it's not even recommended as a treatment. And one of the things that was curious to me about that was that basically, well, what continues to change? That means that even though hormones aren't changing, there's still this idea of a preserved cycle. And this concept of preserved cyclicity has been researched in the past, but only behaviorally by asking people how they feel. Sort of subjective accounts. And it's this idea that in the days before the hormone withdrawal interval shows up, so when the placebo pills start and usually about 3 days later at the onset of that withdrawal bleed that mimics the period. The week before, hormone pills are entirely stable, but people will start to experience PMS type symptoms. And like I said, this shouldn't really occur. And so we wanted to know the mechanism that underlie this. More than just asking people how they feel, we wanted to record their brains to see, you know, what in the brain is changing. And actually that what continues to change might be an important mechanism to understand for what causes these disorders.
We've heard from our friends, colleagues, it's the idea of taking oral contraception perhaps for many years, starting when you're young, and then let's say for whatever reason coming off in your mid-20s, and this idea of you feel like yourself again. That's probably maybe what you're saying with subjective values. Are you finding that there is quantitative studies in the brain?
Really, to be fair, what's in the literature is that things that should change don't change. So it's the idea that you would expect that if all the hormones stop changing, then people wouldn't have PMS anymore. And that based on what we know, really, actually, it's from what's been studied in rodents, by giving them doses of hormones and changing them very similar to how a human menstrual cycle changes and observing symptoms and all those sorts of things, is that the cause of the disorders is always, you know, it's a massive change in hormones. And that probably is still really important, but the idea is that the whole menstrual cycle is triggered in the brain, really, or the key part of the triggering of the menstrual cycle is in the brain, and that there is a continuation of cycling that happens even with the pill, because I think we expect that when you take the pill, everything will stop, right?
No, absolutely, and I think it's the idea that taking a pill that affects one part of your body, but realistically it's changing and affecting, having other impacts that we might not actually be noticing or being exposed to or educated to. Do you think there should be a greater education on these kind of effects and your research? And
I think it surprised me a lot how much we don't know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's massively risky and that people should be worried or should stop taking their pills, but that there is a lot that we still need to know about how they affect the body and the brain, yeah, in addition to contraceptive changes. And that does make them hugely useful for helping people with endometriosis or PCOS and other sort of hormone-related disorders, acne and all these sorts of things. And they can be really good for those sorts of things. But that is largely because they have, I guess, if you think about the pill as being a purely contraceptive, it'd be off-target effects or side effects, you know, that are useful. And that, yeah, understanding the mechanism between why they do that or maybe why they don't produce changes would help us understand what they're doing to the brain and to the body, and also help us to find, better treatments.
No, 100%. And I think just for the purposes of our listeners and for maybe listeners who don't have oral contraception or don't know others on it, could you give a quick overview of what are some of those other non-target effects? We hear ideas of it changes your sense of smell in a partner and all these kind of things. Is this true? To what extent does oral contraception affect both the mind and body?
In some ways, I'm using it as a different type of tool. So I've heard all of those sorts of effects. They're reasonably well kind of documented. Really what it is you take a synthetic estrogen and a synthetic progesterone, and those are sort of mixed in together. And the thing that I think is possibly unexpected is that even though you're taking a dose of hormones, it doesn't make your hormones higher than they used to be. It actually holds them low. It stops your body from producing higher amounts of hormones. So basically you're in a permanent follicular phase. And I think the biggest misunderstanding that I've heard is that people go, oh, it holds you as if you're permanently pregnant. And that really comes with this baggage idea that your hormones are held permanently high, and they're really not. They're held down at the follicular phase, which is the lowest point of hormones, and it holds them constant. That they do, by doing that, it inhibits the usual kind of process of the menstrual cycle, that usually there's 21 days where you take those hormones and 7 days where you don't. And those white pills usually are basically sugar, and they produce a withdrawal bleed that's like a menstrual cycle, but it's not a real one. It just looks like it.
Both Stella and I have learnt things as well, just from listening to your description there, that we didn't even know. So it is super important that things that we are taking ourselves to have an understanding of it. I think that's really empowering for people to take and make those decisions as well. I did want to ask about your research as well. Obviously, you're not finished yet. You're ongoing. Where do you see this research going?
Is it really what I was doing was kind of trying to understand using the pill almost as a tool to remove the hormone changes, because if it doesn't treat the disorder, then we know the disorder is caused by something other than hormone changes, or in addition, you know, there's an additional thing, or that something changes. I wanted to uncover that because essentially I'm now currently studying catamenial epilepsy. So these are for the 40% of females with epilepsy, where they experience a doubling in the number of seizures that they would ordinarily have in a week at specific points of their menstrual cycle. I'd like to go on and study premenstrual dysphoric disorder as well, because they're not well treated. There are a lot of people who don't have effective treatments for them. So I'm really in the business of trying to find effective treatment options, and also provide more information on what is the neurological basis for these disorders, because it's not well understood. The hormones are a bit sort of mysterious, what happens up in the brain. And so, yeah, using the pill would sort of uncover. And that's what we've generally found, actually, is that there is a change in the EEG signal, for the record, between day 7 of the hormone pills, day 3, sorry, of the hormone pills, and day 21, even though the blood samples didn't change, one of our EEG measures did. And it changed more than it would have changed, than it did change, sorry, between being on the pill and on the hormone interval. So it was more important. I think that's really interesting and important to then take forward and go, well, okay, this might be the thing that needs to be modified if we're going to find a treatment for those conditions that the oral contraceptive pill doesn't help with.
Hopefully, like us, you've learned something new about the research on oral contraception today.
Maybe another time we'll touch on the work on a male contraceptive pill.
That and so much more next time.
Stay curious.